This is a production of Cornell University.
I'd like to go ahead and get us sort of called to order and get started, if possible. So if everybody can grab their seat, we do have a few other folks from TCAT joining us, and they'll be working on putting some slides up on the screen as they come in, so apologize for any distraction, but we'll just go ahead and get started in the interest of everybody's time, because I know time is valuable. On behalf of the Employee Assembly, I'd like to welcome everybody to our conversation with TCAT. My name is Greg Mezzi. I'm the chair of the Employee Assembly. And up here with me is, I'll let BJ.
Hi, BJ Cesar. I'm the Executive Vice Chair of the Employee Assembly.
So today we have several representatives from TCAT and also from Cornell Transportation. We have Bridget Grady and Gary Cremines from Cornell Transportation. Bridget is the Senior Director of Transportation and Mail Services here at Cornell. She was kind enough to help facilitate this conversation today with TCAT and make the introduction. I'll let the folks from TCAT introduce themselves because they'll probably do a better job at it than I will. But we do appreciate having them here for what we hope to be sort of a productive dialogue and discussion. Answer any questions that you may have. They have about a 15-minute or so presentation. We'll have we have some already prepared questions, and then we'll turn it over to anybody in the audience who wants to answer or to ask any specific questions, and then provide the folks the time to respond. So that's the format for the meeting. Are there any questions before we go ahead and get started? Nope. If not, I'll get something. And there's food in the back if you missed it.
Quick question. There was a person for IT.
The laptop, yes.
Laptop.
We'll get that set up because Doug is now here, right?
Right, he's here.
Great.
So. Thank you.
So do you bring your laptop with you?
I don't
know. Great. Yeah, if we could use that, that would be awesome. All right, sorry about that. I guess I'll turn it over to Alice.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate coming here this afternoon to have the opportunity to meet with all of you. We know we've looked at the concerns. We certainly have received phone calls and emails, and we're hoping to provide more information, a better understanding of what has transpired, what's taken place, and where are we going in the future. So first, I want to just give you a little background. Last spring, TCAT was looking at a considerable budget crunch, and we were really considering very large service cuts at that point in time for our budgeting. We are highly subsidized organizations, federal, state. We know what's going on with the various governments and transportation bills and so forth. It has been a challenge running a transportation agency that is reliant on that kind of funding as well as fair funding. So we were looking at some serious cuts during the course of the summer. What we ended up doing is we needed to reduce some of our service. We are also suffering from not having enough equipment, up-to-date equipment. That's capital funding through our federal government, our state governments, and local support. Our bus fleet is aging. It needs repairs. It's down for repairs. That also is problematic. As we looked at those constraints on our organization, what we did during the fall was streamline our service. And so our service development team did a complete analysis on our service where we could make our service more efficient, streamline it, and have less of buses pulling out during peak service. Peak service is the commuter service, early morning service, afternoon into evening service. That's where we were having difficulty meeting the actual service. So we needed to pare back the number of buses we had on the street because our fleet was, the actual fleet was getting less. In other words, our buses were aging out of the fleet. So we didn't have enough equipment. So that's kind of where we came up to where we are now with the implementation of our January service. And we know, we understand, and we can appreciate the feedback that we're receiving We are going to look at some changes for the summer service, but we can't effectively change very quickly. Doug Schwartz, who's our service development manager, will be talking to you a little bit more about what our service team did and how they did it and what conclusions they came up with. But we're not out of the woods. I want to make everybody understand we're not out of the woods yet. Funding is still a serious issue for our organization. Expenses continue to go up and revenue is flat. And when you're running an organization like that, something has to give. And so we are still working as an organization, working on that. Most recently, we had a task force to go to Washington, D.C. and talk to our representatives in Washington. That was contingent of Cornell, TCAT, the city, and the county. We went as a unified group because, again, it's the funding. So I would like to now introduce the rest of my team. Doug Schwartz is our service development manager. He'll be talking a little bit more about the service. I have with me Patty Poyce. She's our communications and marketing. And I know there were some concerns with regards to communications, and she'll be talking a little bit more about that. And then I have Nancy Olds, who's our operations manager. She has her supervisors on the street evaluating service, getting feedback to our team as to what's really going on the streets and so forth. So we came to you today to give that level of information.
So this is the only visual I have. I forgot to do a huge presentation, but it's quite telling. As Alex mentioned, you know, being faced with a shortage of funding and most importantly, shortage of buses, I was tasked at the end of the summer in reducing what is called our peak pullout, that means how many buses do we have to run in our rush hour, by 2 to 3 buses. And that's no easy task at rush hour because that's when really our service is most needed, when most of our buses are full, and there was really hardly anything to give. We certainly didn't want to cut, the one bus that was traveling to Groton at peak travel times, or the one bus that was traveling to Enfield, and so there was very little, very few options we had to adjust service so that we could reduce the number of buses on the road by 3. And so we looked at the campus shuttle system to reevaluate some of the changes we had made since our training development plan was implemented. It's kind of a 10-year horizon plan that we implemented back in 2010. And we used several different sources of information. We used ridership data from our fare box. We spoke to our bus operators and our supervisors who are out there on the street. One of the inputs to this was the comprehensive campus master plan, which from 2008 is the most recent version of that, and that called for reducing the number of buses where possible on Tower Road. And so I'd like to draw your attention to this graph up here. This is a graph showing basically throughout the day, the left you see it starts at 4:45 and ends at 18:50 or 6:50 p.m. on the right. The black line is numbers of boardings for out of ALOT. The red line just below that are the boardings out of Hasbrook. The green line at the bottom you see there are boardings out of ALOT. And the purple line are the boardings from the East Hill Plaza area. And as you can clearly see, some of you are, a lot of you may be upset about the changes made to Route 81, and that's no longer serving ALOT. At all, and even the service that remains at the lot with Route 82 is just for a brief time during the morning and afternoon. Here's the reason essentially why we did that. Before the service period, we were routinely leaving people behind on North Campus at A lot, and we're leaving 20-30 passengers behind at peak times at stops. And when we looked into the numbers why, this was very telling, and we saw that VLOT usage had greatly diminished. We've been hearing from our bus operators, they told us, wow, we really just don't get the people out of VLOT that we used to before, and these numbers certainly confirmed that. So what we did is we took Route 82 and we basically made that the all-day primary campus shuttle. So it serves A lots, except for a brief time in the morning where 81 serves that. All of North Campus, East Avenue, Tower Road, Humphrey Service Building, Maple Avenue, and the East Hill office area. And of course, it also does serve B lot, not directly via the shelters, as you know, but the Vet Medical Center and Caldwell Road. And so we were now running that every 10 minutes. It used to run every 15 minutes. And the old constellation of buses, we had Route 82 every 15 minutes, Route 81 every 10. That meant that, you know, twice an hour there would be two buses trailing each other down Tower Road. And at eight times, perhaps, you know, the capacity was needed, but that was, you know, being wasted other times. So by running the 82 every 10 minutes, and we basically reduced the Route 81 to just supplement capacity where it was demonstrated to be needed. And as you can see, there's so much more coming out of Hasbrook and ALOT during the morning, and then of course the reverse in the afternoon. But we added 81 service on a unidirectional basis, meaning from North Campus to Central Campus in the morning, and from Central back to North and ALOT in the afternoon, where we could demonstrate that the 82 that would be running every 10 minutes would not have sufficient capacity to carry everybody. So that, in summary, is you know, why we've done what we've done. I'd like to address a couple of the questions and comments that we've received from you. A couple of you pointed out that there is no way to get to ALOT at time in the morning. Perhaps some of you have to pick up a child when a stroke is called, or have to go to an appointment or something. And you know, you could get almost all the way there, but not directly into ALOT until after 10 a.m. And additionally, between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m., that there was insufficient northbound service to get anywhere on campus. And so we recognize that's an oversight, and we're working to address that for the next service period, which will go into effect in May. So those of you needing to get an ALOT should be able to get there throughout the day. Those of you making a northbound trip will be able to do so at all times. I apologize for the inconvenience that's caused some of you. In regard to the service at the B-lot, this, in summary, is why we've done what we've done. And, you know, we're always reassessing, reevaluating commuting patterns and ridership demand. And, you know, if it remains, I'll call it lopsided, when there's so much out of A and not so much out of B, then with limited resources, we have to adjust service to where the demand is. But I don't want to make it sound that the service from B-lot is gone forever. If parking policy were to change such that if there were more demand out of B-lot, we would certainly look at the putting service back. So that is a quick summary of what we've done and how we decided to go about doing it.
I'm just wondering if you have considered the nature of your ridership when you look at the figures. The ALOT seems to me to be very heavily students and that kind of person, whereas B-lot would be more heavily staffed. So the numbers are clearly lower, significantly lower for B-lot. But those of us who are employees and have to be able to get to our jobs relatively quickly, this has been a very significant change for us, and it has impacted how we can get to work and the availability for us to leave work when we need to. And I don't know that you have looked at that aspect of your ridership, but to us it's very significant.
And I also think, and I want to add, I don't think that graph tells the whole story, because I don't think, like in our case, for instance, I only use B-lot when my carpool, one person in our carpool doesn't have a space. So I think it affects more people than the stress might tell. It's just that not all the time. Also, ALOC's free, from what I understand, correct?
Right.
And VLOC used to be, but now it's not.
Right.
So that affects things, and ALOC's always jam-packed. And when I come into Portland,
VLOC was an extremely convenient, I mean, to say that it's convenient doesn't mean that it was unnecessary. It was vital. And I can tell you, I think the demographic of the people who are Cornell employees these days, we are getting older. We do have more medical concerns. We have more responsibilities. We need to have ready access to our transportation. And it's not like we can wait 3/4 of an hour to make our way up to some other parking area. We need this. We need this. And I don't dispute that your numbers clearly show that there's a much less number of riders and trips out of VLOC. But I can tell you, when I park in VLOC, the place is full. If I don't get there before 8 o'clock in the morning, it's full. So I don't know who these other people are who aren't, you know, who aren't taking the transportation once they park in VLOC or where those cars are gone. But I'm just speaking to the nature of I think I'm fairly typical. When I look at the people who get on the bus, they're employees, they're women, they're older, and I don't mean to disrespect anybody, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of us out there who really depend on this, more so than what you can see in these figures.
Thank you. So just real quick, there's one question back here, and then I'll let the rest of you have your chance to talk, and then if we can hold the questions till the end, we'll go through about questions. I know this gentleman back here has had his hand up, so we'll go to this one and then back to the folks at TCAT.
The gentleman here who is more kind of than I am, so if she gets invited, she's really nice. She's going on right now, but the statement in her comments, and your statement about looking at the number, the court of the just said that these numbers will never get service back. If you force people other parking lots on campus, so there will no longer be riders on VLOC, so you will never see the numbers increase. So you're saying, based on that, you'll never get service back to people.
And parking fees also, of course. Because, I mean, like, if they tell us we're going to pay to park, why do you pay for it?
Well,
yeah, I think if it were free, though, more people would park in VLOC and not in any VLOC. That's the case for Cornell.
I get the concept of business, and if you don't have, allegedly, and I stress the word allegedly very strongly, you can provide any one service every 10 minutes from VLOC to VLOC. I get this low membership, low ridership, which affects the bottom line. So, fine, you say about reducing service, you can simply cut service. Don't put 6 buses an hour. They can run for 30 runs every half hour. Try 2 buses so that the service remains for the employees that will generally strive, who really rely on it and need it, and it's not just a convenience, it's a necessity. Give us 2 buses an hour instead of 6 buses an hour, and we still have service, and you guys have 4 buses back in service to take care of the smaller areas.
So I'll turn it back over to the folks from TCAT. I appreciate everybody's questions. I know there's going to be a lot more probably as the conversation goes on. If we could try to hold those till the folks at TCAT have had a chance to get everything out, we'd appreciate that. And then maybe some more information will come out through in some of that discussion. But I think everyone's bringing up very valid points and concerns, which I think we hope to get some more answers to as we move on.
Let me get next. I'm Patty Coy, Communications and Marketing Manager. A number of comments we've received detail that we are not communicating, or we have not communicated these interchanges as quickly as we should have. And first of all, I'm going to tell you what we've done. Starting December 12th, we started conversations with folks in Cornell Transportation, and they were very, very good. Very proactive, trying to get the word out through the community for the spring. And I know that, you know, they tried to secure various avenues, including Caltrans. That was the only place I saw. But I also know that they did pepper bus shelters as well with signage. We'll take that as a point.
Right.
Okay. So, hats off to Cornell Transportation. So, they were very good, very proactive, and very hardworking in helping us. Right. I really, truly appreciate that. And then around the week of December 22nd, that's when we hung our signs. There are PDFs of our other consistency key changes. We covered the campus then as well. The problem is it was sort of a perfect storm because a lot of people were on break, a lot of people had vacation, so they didn't get the word out, they didn't get the word that they needed. So, and then the week of the first week of January, that's when we had our final materials, and that's when all the signs went up in the buses and talked about the vacation. And this is this line right here. So, I don't know. We tried to play the quick time on the and we sent it out to have a huge communication list. We sent it out to on our website, to on social media, to alert writers of what was happening. All that being said, you know, there were concerns that we did not communicate this and give you enough time to plan accordingly or to provide your feedback. To that end, again, under Bridget and Gary over here, we're working together. Gary Cremes and I are working together to create a timeline to better communicate any major route changes going forward so we can get the word out as soon as possible. Again, we were under, we did a major change in a very short period of time, and that, you know, again, that kind of is a trickle down effect from the money, the lack thereof. So normally, with this type of change, it would be 30 weeks out. We didn't have that luxury. Surface development didn't have that luxury. And so we had to get a lot of stuff done quickly. And it was at a bad time of the year as well. So, but, you know, again, all that being said, I hope in the future, working with Gary, Cornell Transportation, we can improve that process so you have your information as soon as possible. And, to give you a chance to provide some feedback or make your plan.
I'm Kelly Anfield, and I'm manager of operations at GCAT. And one of the things that we've been doing is whenever there's a change, of course, what we want to do is we want to evaluate how it's working. So how we do that is we go out and we actually observe the service, talk with drivers, watch the buses coming through, see if there's enough capacity, like if all the buses coming through, everybody gets on the bus and goes, or if people are not waiting. Those are the kind of things we look at, how full the buses are, how the timing is going. So there are several things that we're looking at to evaluate the service. And one of the things is with any campus service, about 81, 82, the routes that we're here talking about, we're very sensitive to how to even make changes, because we understand that riders at Cornell have to use the service because parking is not always right where you work. So if the parking lot service coming in, it's very important to everybody, you know, getting to work, getting home from work. We know that there are obligations, second job, child care, all the different things that you have to deal with and plus using the service. So we're sensitive to that, and we really, you know, it's not what we wanted to have to do at all. Never change this kind of service because we know the reliability on it. So what we've been doing is monitoring, assessing, and looking at what we need to do where we see any kind of new thing. Sometimes takes a couple of adjustments to be able to get it to the point where it's working like it should. So we've been providing Doug with the information that we're seeing out on the street and what trips need help, what trips need more seats, more capacity, what trips need better timing. So that's what we're working on. We've been working on since day one, looking at it, and then being prepared, trying to be prepared for the next service period. We have three service periods in a year. So just for you to be looking at, like always in January, it's going to make a change. It would be end of January, just when it's about the third weekend, when everybody is coming back. And then in May, about a week before the Memorial Day commencement, we start our summer period, and then our fall period is always just when it opens. So those are our three periods that you might want to be watchful for changes, and when that's when we would make changes. We don't make changes unless there's a detour of some sort in between those times. And detours, you know, just might mean the route is affected in some way, that we have to take different routes. But as far as any big service changes, that's the calendar that we have. So we're preparing for the summer. We're getting those and this is the information, and we hope that we'll be able to fix most of the problems that we're hearing. But always happy to hear feedback, because hearing from the riders that have to use the service is the best for us. So we appreciate any feedback that you have provided.
Is there anything else that in your presentation before we open it up for some questions?
No, I think just because I know that there's probably many of you who have many questions, if we can keep questions concise and provide TCAT the opportunity to respond, and then we'll go on to the next question. I know that BJ has a couple of questions that we'll sort of get out from some email feedback that we've received and other ways that we've collected some information. So I'll turn it over to BJ now.
So just to kind of condense, I think you've answered a lot of the submitted questions that we received, just kind of to work out. But are there ways that community members, like the folks that are here, can help contribute and help make decisions with the TCAT process, just operation and just communication, all those things? Are there ways for us to get involved?
Well, we have a writers group. It's the TCAT Services Advisory Committee, and that needs the second Monday of every month at 4 o'clock, or 4:30 rather, at TCAT. And we do have representatives from Cornell in that community, so that's a great place to air your concerns or provide feedback and take minutes. We report to the board our findings there. I facilitate that, so if anybody's interested in joining our advisory committee, you can contact me. I'll give you my contact information. It's on our website, pattyvoices.tp1@tcatmail.com. So if any of you are interested in joining that group, that's a good place for you to air your concerns or actually you're serving as an extra set of eyes and ears for us, because we can't have any. We have three supervisors. We can't cover the entire county. So as riders, that's a good avenue for you. And for persons with disabilities, we also have an accessibility committee, which meets monthly as well. And Nancy, that's the second Tuesday or the?
Yeah, it's the first Tuesday of the month. It's at 2 o'clock, and we meet at City Hall on the second floor.
And also, everybody is welcome to attend any of our board meetings, which are the fourth Thursday of every month, and that one starts at 4. So, you know, that's a good place to come and see, watch the process. We have representatives from PML, the city and county, our three local funders who serve on that board. And, you know, they always welcome any input. So. And they have various committees come to the offices of that board. And they're up with the public as well. There's the transit services committee where a lot of these decisions are made for any place.
Perhaps different levels at which you can become involved. That, you know, some of the things that Patty mentioned are highly involved, that you want to come down and really share through data with us and talk about it. We're more than welcome to have you. We realize that a lot of you are pressed for time and you want to be respectful of that. There are certainly other ways to submit comments. You can certainly write to us TCAT@tcatmail.com. We realize that we don't always write back right away, particularly this time we had a lot of emails pour through, and you know, I wanted to take a moment to apologize for some of the time it took to get back to some of you. In some cases, we had to go research what was going on. We didn't really just want to say, you know, thank you without having an explanation. But
we do read and take every single email into consideration. So I don't want to leave anyone with an impression that if you write to us, it's going to fall on blind eyes from deaf ears. We do take them very seriously, and we incorporate them into our service planning. So if you have less time, again, that is tcat@tcatmail.com. Tcatmail being all one word. I would also add that this particular service change, as we mentioned before, had to be done hastily, and there was not quite the time that I might have liked for some public focus groups. We believe very strongly at TCAP in involving the public in our service decisions. And we have some discussions with Cornell Transportation that we certainly treat this as an ongoing issue, and we haven't set up at this time a forum, but I would imagine as we take a hard look at the shuttles and as we look to do a re-planning, that we would, working with Cornell Transportation, would set up kind of a forum and hopefully more than one opportunity for those who want to take part in that. So we have nothing planned at this time. Again, we just can't do what we did here rather hastily. But I think the next time we overhaul shuttles, we'll be taking our time and doing that a bit slower. And so those are perhaps different levels at which some of you might hope to participate in the planning process.
I think what has happened is if the 82 could just go through the stoplight, make the left, and then make another left in front of the vet school, that would eliminate even having to go to the D-line. But it would help pick us up. One day I was there from 8:04 until 8:47 when I walked around the corner. The sports hall, I was the one that was there 45 minutes in below zero weather waiting for a bus that should have been there at 8:06 or 8:16. Neither one of them showed up because all of you had different people that filled the route and didn't know to turn. And I understand that. But if it was just a natural thing that they go to the light, make the right, then that would eliminate a lot of the problems with the lot riders. It's only a block difference, and it would really help us out. Also, it would make it so that way if we park in the lot, in order to get there during the middle of the day, I have to leave work an extra hour early. So I'm losing an hour worth of work just to make sure that I can get us across from the vet school, walk down, walk in front of D-Lot, go into D-Lot, and that's an extra 25-minute walk. And in bad weather, that could be a 30 or 35-minute walk. So just having that little job put in there would eliminate a lot. And I would really appreciate that. And that's where I think most of the people that are parking now and I meet with them, they said, all we got to do is just go there. And I said, I know. Well, we need to listen. It's only a block difference, and it would really help us as writers.
If I can speak to that, that's actually one of the things that we're looking at doing is expanding the times that we do travel via the Vet Medical Center and serve the lot there. This is, I don't mean the formal study, but if we could just do a quick show of hands, I'm going to keep basis of time, but if you could just raise your hand if you ever or frequently have a tour from VLAT during those times, that would help us. Was it before 7 o'clock in the morning? 7 o'clock? 7:15? 7:30? 7:45? 8 o'clock? 8:30?
It depends on what we have on. It could be any time during the day.
You can raise your hand twice if you
ever need to. 8:45. It varies. Like right now, I might be working tonight until 6 o'clock tonight. That means I have to plan on a half hour walk at the end of the day. Because the 82 will go straight. It won't turn there. So every time that I stay late, and all it is just a turn. It's
it's a simple block.
Absolutely. Your good point is very well taken. Is there anyone that regularly or even infrequently travels from VLOC to Central Campus after 10 a.m.?
I just
want
to make a comment. I usually ride at 4:55, but yesterday I had something in the middle of the day, so I got to park the VLOC that I used to do. I did, and I was shocked that there were no buses around. I ended up walking from VLOC to the VLOC because it was my building night time in the morning, but when I had to leave for my appointment, I leave at 1:30, and I looked at the schedule, and
yeah, absolutely. Your point is well taken.
If I might add, if it is added, dug around in the line, you really appreciate that a shelter. I don't know if that's where our transportation is set, but somehow there, and it's kind of exceptional in the room. But beyond that, it can be bad.
It's
normal.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to rain. It's going to be rainy. And it's, especially if you're hauling all the stuff that we normally haul, okay? This is not a minor concern. And so it's not like we can just get out and walk to the bus without any bags or other accoutrements. The value of having a bus within a very short walk is insanely wonderful. I mean, it's really necessary. And some of us don't have to punch a clock when we get in, but a lot of us do. And if we can't get to our place of work at any time, that, of course, causes problems at the work site. And you have to make up the time, all this kind of stuff. I mean, it's snowball. And, of course, everybody has to adjust to whatever the reality is. But in making that adjustment, that often means that everything else in your life just has to be pushed back. It's less efficient. It just has a lot of downsides. And so this problem with transportation from VLOC has been highly significant, and it is not reflected in these graphs that you're showing us.
There was a hand up back here, and then we'll go to this gentleman here.
Situation where I'm actually not parking in the car because I commute about an hour and I get to school all day and I get to tell how I never know when I'm going to get there next. So I'm just parking in the $10, and I'm on the ride, but when I drive, I'll be parking there because 45 miles from the buses that go by. But then one morning, the crew came up to Judge Falls, turned and went down Judge Falls, and found out after talking to somebody that the person was confused, that missed me walking, and that's why they turned out. I ended up walking, and another lady ended up walking in.
We'll go to this gentleman here.
I drive 1.5 to 2 hours a day, depending on the weather, to get here. Work from 10 to 6. Right? It's impossible to find a place to park in an A lot at 10 o'clock. Impossible. So my only option is B lot or O lot. There's no bus service in that anymore. So what do I do? I know you're going to say you're sorry, but I also have a problem with my legs and I have a handicap problem. I wrote a letter to TCAT explaining the issue. I was told, well, just walk to the other end of the VLOC because the end of the VLOC next to, in front of the that school is always full. So I parked on the other side where there's handicap parking and get busted. And the response from TCAT was, well, you can just walk to the other end of the lot and get the bus there. Right? There's no option. I don't have an option. My option is to pay Cornell more money to park in a closer lot and get no bus service. I'm already paying for parking B to get a bus service that I can't get.
I agree that it's partially Cornell's fault as well, because Cornell should provide the employees with better options for parking. A lot is so full all the time because it's free. You can't afford to keep paying these prices and they keep going up. And if you want to park anywhere but A or B lot, it's going to really pay. And some of us can't afford to give up that amount of money every year. I don't know what people are making, and I'm not going to ask. I don't make that kind of money here. And it's not fair that we don't have B lot as a choice like A lot. People coming from that direction. I think it's very unfair that that's changed to not being a free lot. And again, it's making A lot overcrowded. And if you come in the middle of the day, it's impossible.
So one of the things...
Yeah.
One of the things that I want to hit on is we do have the folks from transportation scheduled for a separate forum and discussion on May 6th to talk about Cornell specific as it relates to transportation, parking, campus to campus, you know, any sort of Cornell specific transportation concerns. I'll allow Bridget to respond to any questions now if she wants, or we can hold.
I think it's bleeding over, though. It's not
sure.
Just a complete fault. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, yes, they're picking the service, but they're not getting the full picture.
So I don't know, Bridget, I can...
This is a transportation system that all works together. It's really the day it's over the TCAT and the speaker feedback. We're here and we're going to make this as well, but we're not really prepared to talk about permit prices in the parking.
So I've seen multiple hands up. I saw two over here. I saw two here. So I guess we'll work from this side of the room and come over if that's all right with folks. We'll start with... If you could just try to speak up as loud as possible.
Influence and influence.
Just back up with my beginning statement. We were at a critical situation with regard to parking. Our fleet was diminishing, reducing in size, aging out. In the fall, we had 48 full-size buses. Our peak pullout was 43 buses in the fall. And we're under DOT inspection. Our buses, by the time, get pulled out of the fleet and then given a day to be inspected. So, effectively, I put 43 buses on the street. Anyone that goes down, service is lost. We have to make an adjustment. And so we were at a critical stage where we had to make an adjustment in the fall. And I completely understand, believe me, I completely understand. I hated to do that, but we had to make some adjustments and we used someone else to do that. We already had gone through a transportation development program where we adjusted service a number of years ago, but this didn't allow us to do that larger, full-blown adjustment. We had to make an adjustment because we couldn't meet our service levels. We were not able to meet them, and therefore, we had to make this change very, very quickly. I sincerely apologize, but we had to adjust to what level of funding we have and what equipment we have. We only have so much equipment to put on the street. We would love to put out as much service as possible. Our ridership was just going off the charts. I mean, this area was amazing. Our agency outshines any of the agencies when you look at, number of riders per hour and so on and so forth. We blow numbers away here. And that's really goodness. But we don't have the funding to maintain that level of service. I apologize for
that.
I am working down through a speakers list that we've sort of been noting as hand pop up. So we have Bridget, and then I know you had your hand up right there. We'll work our way over this way, and then we'll come back over here to Hazel and work back over. So we are keeping track, so just pop your hands up. We'll try to grab it. So Bridget.
Yeah. This was
college has worked with us to provide kind of late night services. Doug worked very hard on that, and put in there and campaigned that service and went off the chart. Such a success, and that was probably a good first real big step for the park in terms of funding. They are not a local funder. We're a consolidated three agencies, which is the Cornell City and the county.
Are they already considered in the city part over there, or the county?
Whatever,
yeah. And I said there's even commensurate level of service. They have a half an hourly frequency. There's no two-minute shuttle that exists at every college. Half an hour is that service to the team, and it's really just the same as the South Middle neighborhood circuit here. So,
I'm curious
about that. Cornell is much, much greater level of service than
sorry, I don't know people's names. I'm sort of pointing and using descriptors. So. And two, just to clarify a little bit, our meeting in May is, I hope it's not viewed as sort of deferring to that time for this specific issue. It is to have more of a comprehensive Cornell transportation-specific discussion. A piece of that being, bus service on campus, but a majority of that being parking and other commuter options on campus, and some of the programs they're working on, changes that are coming or that have already happened. So that's what that main meeting is for, and I hope it's not perceived that we're deferring to that. But we did want to try to separate the two issues because we know that they'll both have a robust discussion. You ready?
I have a question about DLOT dialogue from the ALOT perspective. Like she mentioned up there, a lot of us can't afford your parking, so the only choice we have is A1, which is fine. And in the morning, it's generally not too much of a problem. However, going home, by the time the bus gets there, it is full. And sometimes two or three buses go by, but it's full. Because the students are also getting out, and they often push right in front of staff, you're on the bus, and you just go across the bridge. And so it's just really frustrating because we've been here all day long and have to then wait another half an hour just to get to our cars and then go home. And I don't know if that's a timing issue or what. Another issue is occasionally in the morning, I'll see the bus at the lower shelf and tail out, so I actually park a few rows down, hoping that just in case I start to walk or the bus moves forward, we can make sure it's back so I can get on the bus. However, there are some bus drivers who, in one case, actually got right to the sidewalk there by the end of the row, and the bus I was leaving from me to you, he saw me and just took right off. And it was one of those days that was 10 degrees outside, if not less. And so I had to walk into work because I didn't know when the next bus was going to come. And either way, I was going to be late for work. The only way I knew I was going to get there was in 10, 15 minutes. And this is not the first time it's happened. It's happened many times to a bus driver leaving, and I need to take her off. I understand they can't help for everybody, but if somebody is that close to the bus, you see them actually physically running, it would be nice that maybe just stop and get them, especially when it's back to the bus time.
person in my time to go pick them night. My coworker asked me to bring it up with her. She doesn't use the bus, but she does a carpool. And one of her bamboo riders works up at near RPCC and has to take the bus, and they all meet here at the campus. It takes him about half an hour to get from RPCC to Statler so they can all go home together. They live out in Montreal Falls. She doesn't get home until much later. So she tried to adjust the bamboo time so that she has to leave work 20 minutes early to actually drive over to RPCC to pick him up, make it back to Central Campus to pick everybody else up, and then leave. So it's not affecting just us. They're actually riding buses because of the bamboo. There's other people as well. So I just wanted to bring that up.
Right. I don't know if you want to, we can take more questions. I don't know if you want to respond at this point. We can go to this gentleman back here.
Thank you for saying that in comment, because I was literally at the mall, the ECU to the bus, to get on the ferry to come back to campus. The driver looked me in the eye. Now, Nancy Alt, I will praise Nancy Alt, I dealt with Nancy in the past. She's a wonderful person to deal with. So when Nancy says that they're out there watching, the driver literally looked me in the eye, went like this, and drove off. He said, I'm not going to worry about them before I called his chat number. And I have to go off. If I heard it from the law, I heard it from the officer, to my coworker, who knew I was coming here today, that it seems like the drivers are getting ruder. Not just that the whole passing by, I nearly killed myself. I was driving down the bus. The driver hit the gas like he was going to a raceway, and I ended up at the back of the bus almost on my face. My boss watched a woman go flying backwards, bang her head against the pole, and spray coffee all over the bus. The driver took off like a bat out of hell, and somebody cut him off near jolt on the brakes. So, I'm wondering, if somebody mentioned it to me, I'm wondering if we're so constraining these drivers with the schedule to get on schedule that just ending. I've been working here for longer than I'll tell you. I know many of the drivers, and some of them are really courageous. I have good conversations when I get in touch with them. But some of them are just like, you need to get on the job because you need to get a job where you're in a basement somewhere. Because you're not a people person, you're a driver. And you're going to have more and more, unfortunately.
So if I may just to sort of add on that topic for a second, I'll try not to interject as chair, try to help just facilitate. But this was a conversation that came up between the assembly's leadership when Vice President Hugh Wong came to our monthly meeting. And the topic of the deferred sort of capital and the wearing bus came up. And so one of the questions that I posed to Hugh, as a former board member of TCAT, and was if you have equipment that's getting to a point where it's reaching the end of its useful life, wear and tear, and how you drive it. And I can just think back to my dad when I was 16. That if you slam on your brakes every time you come to a stop sign, you're gonna have to change your brakes more. If you accelerate too fast, you're gonna have to change your tires. If you do these things, you're forcing more wear and tear in your car. So one of the questions was, is there training, is there systems in place that sort of monitor the wear and the tear on the buses as it relates to how the driver is operating the bus? Because if you have a lot of deferred capital, wear and tear is going to be what makes or breaks, essentially, as those buses get towards the end. And I think it sort of echoes on the quick takeoff or the speed in which it goes through North Campus at times. So I just know that there's some concerns about that, and as a, from a, yeah, the speed bumps, yeah.
I mean, I take the bus every day. I'm an avid rider, and some of these bus drivers, I'll tell you, they'll go 40 over those speed bumps, and our heads are almost hitting the ceiling on these buses.
We literally drive off the seat.
Yes. So what is TCAT doing to make sure that their drivers are not abusing the buses, the equipment, and that?
Well, we don't have the same drivers, that always have the same bus.
No, we have a different driver every day. Every morning and every afternoon, we have a different driver.
Right, but the bus itself, know, the looking at the, you know, how the buses are driven, it's driven by different drivers. So that would be more of a indicator if you have the same, the driver always has the same cost, that you could measure that. There's not a way to really measure that.
So we have time for about three more quick questions. I've got Hazel, this gentleman in the back, and then we'll go over to Christine.
I would like at some point to be able to respond to the question
that you're
nearby.
Go ahead, you can do
that now. It has been a long time issue on campus when we have buses that come through or 10 minutes or 5 minutes, depending on what we call the headway and how often the bus comes through. Some of the things that you described are pretty strange, but those are not what I'm going to talk about now. But I just want to talk about shuttles, kind of call more of a shuttle service. Anyway, is that if you keep on, like, along campus or in A lot or B lot, you see people walking down the parking lot or along the sidewalk all the time, you open the door to that person, and then you open the door to the next person you see, and you open the door to the next person you see. What was happening is it starts bunching up the buses because the next bus is coming along, that one's late. So what ends up happening, that bus gives all the riders when it's really almost into the next person's time slot. So one of the things we did years and years ago, this isn't something new, is we train the drivers that once your time point leaves and you go to the door, the safety thing with a driver is that you are now paying attention and pulling out in traffic. And so at that point, your attention can't be when somebody's trying to catch you. It's time for you to leave so that you can keep the buses safe, for one thing, the best as possible and not bunching up. The other thing is for safety, because at that point, you have to be watching what you're driving into. So you're seeing the traffic or the pedestrians that are there for you to pull out. You can no longer be paying attention here. So that is how we actually do in our training. We have extensive training for bus operators. New training and then retraining that we do every year as well. And then we do reminders and memos, and when we start hearing something like what you described more and more, we do observations, and then that might be the subject of our next training, is how to go about that. So a lot of the feedback we get helps us structure our training so that we're actually training on what is happening out there. We have street supervisors that are out, you know, and they take teams watching for this. But some of this you might be seeing might be that drivers are trained to do that in that way to keep the service flowing like it should. So we were about to put some in charge.
You pull out, I was there. So he could have run me over, but I chose to stop because he looked at me. He basically said, "Up there, I'm leaving."
So,
in an
instance,
I'm not saying that's not an extreme case, but what we don't want to happen, I'm just giving more of a general why, because that seems to be.
In the interest of in time, because I just want to make sure we hit. If there's more specific feedback, I think to take that conversation offline would be great. We'll go to the Hazel. This gentleman in the back, and then Christine did their last question. So if we could just keep them concise, just looking at the time.
I just have a couple brief comments. If you have a fleet of 48 buses, isn't there a capital plan for replacement as you retire them out? And if they're bouncing around the street for this car, I know what it does on my car. I can't imagine what it does to buses. Isn't there a plan, a capital plan, for upkeep and maintenance and routine breaks and service and et cetera?
Yes, there is. The capital plan is in place, but the funding is not. When our government went through a total rechange of the transportation bills and so forth, they came up with what is called MAP 21. One of the things they lacked to put in that particular funding model with capital money. That's our problem. The feds and the state are not providing capital money. That's why we went to Washington. That's why we're going to New York State. Because we need the funding. Yeah, we have our long-range plan. We want our fleet taken out. And we're at that critical stage.
Good question. And also, the DOT inspections, I mean, we've been having DOT inspections forever.
Correct.
And the other point I wanted to bring across is parking in A lot. Are freshmen allowed to park in A lot?
No, so I know there was a question earlier about student parking A lot. A lot is not a student lot, it's that back A lot. Near A lot, it's only about 6 feet lot.
Right.
So
I have this gentleman in the and then the beard, and then. Gentlemen back there. And then Christine.
At the vaccine, at the vaccine, across from the DPI, there's a little kiosk that you schedule
your update. Okay.
Thank you.
Good night. Christine? So, we'll do one last one just because I have got a soft spot in my heart for it. If I could just for a moment just bring everybody back, and if there's more questions, I'm sure that you'll be available afterwards. I want to thank everybody for coming and taking out their time out of their busy day. I know your time is very valuable, and I'm sure that the TCAT folks are really trying to hear your feedback and make the adjustments and try to have the best possible transit system that we can. The folks at Cornell Transportation, I appreciate them being here. Look forward to our discussion on May 6th, which will be more information to come. Feel free to follow or follow us on Facebook. I give a shameless social media plug. Check our EA newsletters as they come out for information.
And one of the things I'd like to do is extend an open invitation to both Cornell Transportation and TCAT to make themselves available to the EA if there's anything and we could ever help support or host a forum, again, for ridership or ride changes. I know on behalf of the entire employee assembly, we'd be more than happy to facilitate that dialogue for the Cornell staff-specific community. And then to everyone who came, who is a member of the staff, if there are any other issues or topics that you'd like to see addressed forums or topics covered, please feel free to reach out to us at the assembly, myself or BJ, we'll just sort of leave it at that. Again, I appreciate TCAT being here, and I don't know if there's something. All right, so appreciate everybody's participation. This is your important part of the process, and we really appreciate the engagement on behalf of the EA. If you have any questions, we'll be around afterwards. So thank you for coming.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.